This podcast is from Christian Chapel in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, visit us online at christianchapel.com.
It is great to be here this morning. And as Chris mentioned, we're from Pittsburgh. And I grew up in that area, and it's a wonderful place. It's the home of the Steelers, of course, which we're very proud of. I understand some of you might not like that, but we've become accustomed in Pittsburgh to people who don't like the fact that we have all these rings and Super Bowl champions, and it's okay. We don't have any bad feelings. We like looking down from our mountain of Super Bowl rings. So anyway, no hard feelings on that one. But it's great to be with you guys today, and it's so much warmer here, and it's not raining because it rains all the time in Pittsburgh, so that's been really nice to see the sun. So we've been blessed with that. And as Chris mentioned, we've known each other for quite a while since we were in college. And Chris was just always an incredible friend over these years. And don't listen to what he says, but we played basketball together in college. And I was a statistician, but I was still on the team. And I always felt that the team, they wouldn't have known how good they were if it wasn't for me, because I kept track of all their stats. So anyway, it's great to be here. Also, just a couple years ago, we were blessed to have Cherokee Hill from this church intern with us 2 summers ago. And man, he was an incredible blessing to us. And you guys have done a great job. And it's just awesome to see a product of this church making impact. And we were just really blessed, fortunate for that. And today, you know, as we kind of, before we jump into God's word, I have a little bit of confession to make. I love home improvement projects. I don't know if any of you like doing home improvement projects. All of my life, I've enjoyed watching shows like This Old House or anything on HGTV. I love watching houses get fixed up, and I love the idea of doing it. The problem is I'm not real good at it, and I have this problem that I don't know when to give up. Like, I don't know when to stop. Like, I have trouble identifying the line between should I keep working on this or should I call in a professional? Because of this, I will be honest, I've screwed up more projects in our house than I could count, from electrical to plumbing, you name it, I've messed it up. And it's a miracle our house hasn't burnt down. We haven't flooded the place. I have now like 4 for 4 for trying to put sinks up and get the plumbing working. And every time I try and I follow the instructions on that little plastic bag I bought the pipes in from Home Depot, and it always leaks. It never works. I have to call the plumber. I don't know if any of you guys can relate to this. Guys, we like to fix things, and we hate admitting that we can't fix things. We can't stand the idea of giving up on a project. After all, we live in an era where we have the greatest home improvement resource the world has ever known, not Home Depot or Lowe's, but YouTube. YouTube is incredible. You can watch this simple 3-minute video that tells you how to do something that's really complex, and it looks so easy. I don't understand why it takes 3 hours to do it, though. And because of this, giving up is never an option. There's always one more video, one more quick fix, and it looks so simple. And we continue on this path until we find ourselves in a place where we really have no other option but to call in the professionals. A few years ago, we were fixing up a bathroom in our house in our basement, and we gutted it, and we were working on it. My father-in-law, who's really handy, really good at building things, he came down every week on my day off, which is Friday, and helped me work on it. And we, you know, redid all the plumbing and electrical, and we drywalled and everything. And once we got the drywall up, then the task was given to me to finish the drywall, to put the mud and the tape on it. I had watched people do this hundreds of times on TV. I watched the YouTube video. I got this figured out. I went to Home Depot. I got the supplies, and I was ready to go. I put the mud and the tape on the seams and the joints of the drywall and let it dry. Went back and sanded it, and didn't quite seem smooth, so I put more mud on it, and I let it dry, and I sanded it, and I started to realize, like, it's really hard to get it smooth. So I figured the best solution is put more mud on it. So I put more mud on it, and now I had, like, these bumps where the seams were, and came to this point where I kind of passed this critical line where I realized I was moving from home improvement to home destruction, and the bathroom was actually getting worse. So I made the hopeless call to a professional, and I remember the day they walked in to the bathroom and they looked at it and they said, "Wow, this is really bad. Who did this?" And I just shrugged my shoulders and I said, I don't know, those contractors, like, they don't know what they're doing, you know. Fortunately, they were able to get it all fixed. Everything was good. And I don't know if I'm the only one, but do you find it hard sometimes to give up on projects like that? Like, you just one more thing, like you want, and sometimes we make it worse and worse. There's definitely a fine line between giving up to finish a project and missing the hints that maybe you're not qualified. Maybe you need to bring in someone else. And when it comes to projects, I'm sure we've all had areas in our lives, whether it be home improvement or something else, where it's difficult to give up. The worst, though, is when you're working on a project with other people, and they all give up, but you keep going. Doesn't that stink? Like, it hurts, right? And the hardest part is when you are the project, when people start giving up on you. Like, that's where it really starts to get personal. It really starts to stink. See, these are moments where giving up can actually start to hurt. When we're given a label or find ourselves in this category where we're without hope by others, even if it is because of our own poor choices, loneliness, discouragement, abandonment become very real emotions for us. And as human beings, when others give up on us, we start living our lives without hope. What do we do? Because others have given up hope for us. And if you can relate to this, I want to tell you a quick story that we see from history. And it's a story of a man who lived in the first century. He lived in the city of Jerusalem, the center of the Jewish world. For whatever reason, whether it be how he was raised or because of his own circumstances, he found himself in a difficult place. He was captured by the Roman authorities. He would soon enter the Roman judicial system, tried and convicted for crimes against the empire. And this crime that he had committed, whatever it may have been, was so egregious that it wasn't just enough to put him in prison, but he would be sentenced to death. And the thoughts of all that had been and all that could be would race through his mind as he heard the sentence handed down for his life. He knew that the Roman Empire doesn't just execute, they cruelly punish those that they execute. He would be sentenced to die in the most painful way the Roman Empire had available. He would be tortured for all to see as he was going to be crucified. As this man comes to grips with this sentence and the unthinkable experience that he knew he was about to endure, he recognized this is what he deserved for the crimes he committed. He just wished there was another way. And as the Roman soldiers would drag him out of the cold, dark holding cell that he had been in, he sees the giant beams that he would soon be suspended from. The sight causes him to gasp, and as the air leaves his chest, so does hope. This is going to be the end, the final moment of his not-so-wonderful life. He soon puts his head down as he's led away, paraded through the streets of Jerusalem as a laughingstock to the entire city. People who he'd known throughout his life were scattered throughout the crowd. Their looks of disappointment and disgust caused the pain of the moment just to sting a little deeper than it had before. He soon notices, though, that through the pain of carrying this heavy lumber upon his back, the fear of what was about to happen, that the crowds were yelling something. And they're not yelling at him, but at one of the other men that were with him. They were yelling, "Crucify him, crucifying." Others were weeping as this parade went by. The man overhears someone in the crowd say, and I really thought that was the Son of God. The man had heard about this person that had been claiming to be the Son of God. He wasn't completely sure what he thought about it all. But as the thoughts passed through his mind of what's taking place, the reality of this parade of death that he was part of soon came rushing back as a Roman soldier reached back his whip and landed on his back, struck him, causing him to fall to the ground in pain with blood pouring out of his back. He didn't know how he was going to make it, but after an excruciating journey through the streets of Jerusalem, he saw this hill off in the distance. Being a resident of the area, he knew what this hill was. It was a hill of execution. This was where the worst of the worst in society would meet the just end to their lives. He was in some weird way relieved that this difficult journey was coming to an end. His helpless, sad life was about to be over. As this small group of three men carrying their wooden instruments of death upon their backs reached this hill, the soldiers would lay each man down upon these beams that they had been carrying and began nailing spikes through their wrists and their feet. The pain of this moment paled in comparison with what they knew was about to happen. The Roman soldiers would then lift these giant beams into the holes that were dug, hoisting them some 10 feet into the air as they were now suspended from the spikes in their wrists and their feet. Each breath would become a painful process of lifting themselves up to where they could just get one more gasp of precious oxygen. As these men now hung there, they noticed the crowds were jeering and yelling at the man who was positioned in the middle. They were saying that he was someone named Jesus and that he was claiming to be the King of the Jews or the Son of God. And as these three men now hung there, they noticed the crowds yelling at him, and the criminal on the opposite side soon jumped in and started yelling as well. He's yelling and mocking the man, saying, "Aren't you the Messiah? Why don't you save yourself and us? Why don't you do something about this? If you're really the Son of God." This seemed like such an odd thing for a person to do in their final moments on this earth. This man couldn't stand listening anymore to the attacks that were coming against this supposed Son of God. He didn't seem to have done anything wrong. He wasn't even lashing out at those mocking him as someone else may have. This criminal that had been processing his own end over these last hours, the weight of his own mistakes, finally speaks up. He yells across the hill to the other criminal, "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." This man who had been processing all of this realized that he had done so many things in his life wrong. He had recognized it was his choices that had brought him to this horrible place, but he had made up his mind that his last act would be in defense of another, not against another. And he then turned to this man that they called Jesus, and he made one of the most profound 11th hour requests in all of human history. He said this, he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What a pretty crazy question or request to make. This man was a criminal, and not just a run-of-the-mill criminal, but one of the worst in his society. He had the gall to ask Jesus to allow him, of all people, to enter his kingdom. This outrageous statement by a hardened criminal just before he dies was only matched by its response. Here's what Jesus would say. It's recorded in Luke's gospel, chapter 23, verse 43. This one simple sentence. He said this, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." When I read that statement that Jesus makes, I ask myself, why? How could Jesus make a statement like that? How could Jesus say that? This man didn't deserve what Jesus just said. He didn't deserve that statement. He surely hadn't earned the right to be in heaven, to be welcomed into a place of splendor and reward. How in the world could that be possible? What a controversial statement for Jesus to make. I would imagine if this were today's day and age, that one line right there would have played on every news channel for the next 24 hours, over and over again, with analysts saying, "This isn't right. This isn't how things are supposed to go down. This guy deserved what he was getting." Who is Jesus to say, "You can join me in paradise"? Saying this man's life could be redeemed, a man who had proven he was the worst that society had to offer. The same man would scandalously now be walking the streets of gold with many of the heroes of the faith. Can you imagine this man who's about to die because of what he's done, now walking side by side with Abraham, Jacob, Esther, these men and women of faith who had sacrificed, who had had this faith, unwavering faith in God, and now he's right there beside them. How unthinkable, how outrageous, how shocking, and yet how wonderful. It's wonderful because the same Jesus that didn't give up on this man who had proven himself unworthy, undeserving of forgiveness or redemption, still found himself experiencing the greatest rescuer the world has ever known. Not a moment too soon or too late, but at just the right moment, the precise moment, Jesus reached into this man's life and his destiny would be forever changed. And this is the Jesus that we serve today. This is the Jesus that we talk about today. This is the Jesus that we sang about today, because he continues to do that in 2019. He's still doing that. I'll give you a quick example from our church. On Good Friday 4 years ago, there was a young single mother of two boys who was walking through one of the most difficult seasons of depression she had ever experienced. And she posted something on Facebook about how difficult her life was, and she was at the end of her rope, and she was ready to give up, and she was just done. Well, a friend of hers who didn't live in the area reached out to her and said, hey, I see you're going through a difficult time. You really need God in your life. Do you go to church? Is there a church near you? And she said, no, I don't know any churches around me. I don't go or anything like that. So her friend did a quick Google search, found a church, and said, you need to go to this church. You should go to this church. Well, the night before Easter, which that was Easter weekend, she's preparing to go to this church. She was coming up with every reason why she shouldn't. You know, it's going to be inconvenient. I don't know anyone there. There's all these good reasons. Maybe you've gone through those in your own head. Reasons why you can't go to church. And Easter morning, she wakes up and she makes her way to church. She finds herself in the back row, and she's just kind of wallowing in what's happening. And through the service, it felt like God was speaking right into her life, right into her pain, right into her experience. As she sat there on that last pew, Easter of 2015, this single mom, at the end of a service, would commit her life to follow Jesus. Over these last 4 years since that time, her life has turned 180 degrees in the other direction. This woman at our church back in Irwin today, she serves in all of our kids' ministries. She's one of the most faithful volunteers we have at our church. Her family has turned around. It's an incredible transformation. It wasn't because of any person. It was because at the worst possible moment, just when she was ready to give up, Jesus found her. And some of you in this room today, you have similar stories to that. At your worst, lowest moment, Jesus found you. This isn't some religious thing. This isn't some super spiritual thing. This is a real human thing, that we face moments where we're ready to give up, where others have given up on us and we're ready to give up on ourselves because we don't have what it takes. And in those moments, Jesus reaches down from heaven into our hell and he rescues us. If you've ever had someone give up on you before, you understand the weight and depression that go along with being rejected, being labeled, being overlooked, or pushed aside. It is one of the most painful in the human experience. And yet, in the midst of all of it, there is one that has never and will never give up on you. His name is Jesus. No matter what you've done, what label you've carried, or how many people have given up on you, Jesus is the great rescuer that at just the right perfect moment will reach down and can change and transform your entire life in spite of your past. And I don't know what you're walking through or even how you came to church today. Maybe for you, church is just something you do on Sunday. Maybe someone invited you to church. I don't know. But I do know this, that Jesus sees exactly where you are. No one else might. I've grown up in church. I'm a pastor's kid. I've lived in church my entire life from the moment I was born. I know the church game. You put on the good face. Everything's great, even though it's not. You could be dying on the inside, but you've got a smile on your face because you're at church. Jesus sees past all of that stuff. He sees past the facade. And he sees what you're walking through in reality. And in spite of all the pain, all that you've done, all the reasons why he shouldn't love you, he still does. This criminal that day on the cross had absolutely no reason for Jesus to ever forgive him, to welcome him into paradise. None whatsoever. He hadn't done anything to deserve it. All he did was ask. All he did was ask Jesus. And as the worship team comes up today, you know, for some of you, the moment that Jesus is going to reach down from heaven is this moment today. You may have come to church for a lot of different reasons, but on your life's calendar, I believe that God circled this date. That this isn't an accident. Whatever circumstances brought you to church, that God had a reason for you to be here in this moment so that he could bring your attention to this one idea. That Jesus loves you, he can forgive you, and he has not given up on you. And that if you were willing to take that step as that criminal did that day on the cross, that today could be a new day. Today is the day that everything you thought was impossible, everything everyone else said is impossible in your life becomes possible. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done. See, that no life is too far gone. There is not a single life that is out of reach from the redemption that happens through Christ's sacrifice. Your life today can be new just as it was for that criminal hanging upon a cross on that fateful day in Jerusalem. And maybe you have a lot of good reasons why God should give up on you. Maybe you have a lot of really valid reasons. But I want you to know that Jesus doesn't look at you through your past. He doesn't look at you through all the things you've done or people have done to you. He doesn't define you by the labels that people give you. He defines you as his own. He created you. He wants you to know that he hasn't given up on you and that today you could be forgiven, redeemed. And to kind of turn the page a little bit, some of you, you're like, man, that's awesome. I experienced that years ago. Here's what Jesus asks of us. He's the great rescuer, redeemer of our lives. He asks us to do the same for others, that we don't give up on people. You know, there are people in your work, school, your neighborhood, neighbors that they are beyond hope, so to speak. There are people that are difficult. There are people that you're like, man, this one person will never come to church. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to start to look at them through his lens and say, you know what? I don't want to give up on them. I'm going to see them experience the hope, redemption of Jesus. Not by hitting them over the head with your Bible, but by loving them, caring for them, being willing to love them at their worst moments, just as Jesus did that day in Golgotha. That's what God wants you to do as a follower of Jesus. For others of you, today is that day. Today is the day that you say, you know what? I've tried church. I've tried all of this. This isn't about trying any religion. This is about recognizing the Savior of the world sees you, sees your pain, sees your past, and still loves you and says, I want to forgive you. I haven't given up on you. You have a hope and a future. Not that it's going to be easy or perfect, but that you could move toward a purpose that he has for you. In a moment, we're gonna pray and respond. And what I want to do is we're going to give you an opportunity just to say, you know what, today I want to accept Christ, commit my life. It's not joining a church. It's not saying I got to wear a, you know, three-piece suit to church every week, or I have to quote King James English or whatever. It's saying I want to follow Jesus. I want to step into this remarkable plan and purpose God has for me. I want to accept his forgiveness of my past. Even though I can't even forgive myself, that Jesus could forgive me. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your faithfulness. And I pray, Lord, as we just talked about this commitment to accept Jesus, that you would speak into people's hearts this morning. God, the truth and the purpose and the value of what you've done. As you're continuing to pray this morning, maybe you're here and you say, Nick, I've never taken that step to follow Jesus. I've been to church, maybe I've heard, but I've never said yes to Jesus. I've never accepted his forgiveness. And today I'm that criminal on the cross and it feels like I'm at the end of my rope and it feels like there are so many reasons why Jesus can't love me. And I want you to know today is the day. And in a minute, I'm going to count to three. And I'm just going to ask you to reach your hand toward heaven to say today I know Jesus is choosing me, but today I'm choosing Jesus. Today I'm going to accept his forgiveness. I'm going to commit to live for his purpose. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you just to reach your hand toward heaven. One, two, three. Would you reach your hand toward heaven this morning? Amen. Amen. Anyone else today? Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. If you could all stand with me, we're going to pray together. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you speak into our existence, that you speak into our pain. God, that you don't overlook us, that you don't give up on us, that you love us and you care for us. God, for those that took that step, raised their hand to commit to follow you, I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, you would confirm that step of faith. I pray, Lord, that you would challenge them, Lord, to push past the labels in the past and to step into your plan, your purpose, to experience, Lord, the goodness that you have for them. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in their future. It might not be easy, but God, that you are with them and that you don't give up on them. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Nick. If you are saying yes to Jesus today for the first time, maybe first time in a long time, or there's just some spaces in your life where you need him to come in power and come and rescue and deliver, we don't want you to leave this morning without having an opportunity to have someone pray with you, to pray personal prayers, powerful prayers. So the band's going to come. They're going to lead us in a final song this morning. As they do, though, if you raised your hand and said yes to Jesus, or there are just some spaces you need rescue, you need deliverance, some of our pastors and prayer team members are going to be waiting for you in the prayer room. You can go right out the back doors as we start to sing. Take a left. They'll direct you in there, pair you up with someone. It's not going to be weird. It's not going to be long. It's just going to be a powerful moment for you to really seal what God is doing in your heart this morning. So as we begin to sing, if you responded or you know you need to, if you'll head out those back doors to your left, they would love to pray with you. The rest of us, we're going to sing this last song together as a reminder of the grace, the mercy, the new life that Jesus has brought to us.
Jesus, you.
God, we thank you that you see us where we are and you see us for who we are. That, Lord, our souls, our actions, our hearts are laid bare before you, and yet your response is one of mercy and grace. That you see us at our lowest, you see us at our darkest, and yet you continue to move towards us, telling us there is new life, telling us there's a brighter tomorrow, telling us there's a better future. So, Jesus, we come this morning to thank you for that. We come to receive it, and we ask for the power of your Holy Spirit that we would be able to walk in it as we go out today. Lord, that your new life would not only transform us, but would overflow out of us into the world around us. As we go back to work, as we go back to our neighborhoods, to our families, in every space we re-enter today and in the coming week, may we walk with an awareness that we have been rescued, and you are rescuing all of those around us. Jesus, thank you for what you've done. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives, asking that you would work this grace deeply inside of us to the point that it wells up and overflows into a world that desperately needs to know you, your life, and your salvation. We ask these things in the powerful name of our resurrected Savior. Amen. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us today. May you go in God's grace and go in his peace.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Christian Chapel. For more information, visit us online at christianchapel.com.